Hear the word of the Lord, as it is written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And the feast of unleavened bread was near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might slay him, for they feared the people. And Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went away and talked with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they rejoiced and covenanted to give him silver. And he professed and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the crowd. And the day of unleavened bread came in which the Passover must be slaughtered. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, prepare for us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said to him, "Where dost thou desire that we prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, as you enter into the city, a man shall meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he goes in. And you shall tell the householder of the house, 'The teacher says to thee, where is the inn where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a great upper room furnished. There prepare." And they went, and they found as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he reclined, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, "With longing I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you that I will not any more eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And accepting the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you that I will not drink of the produce of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And taking bread, he gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Nevertheless, behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. And indeed the Son of Man goes according to what was determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to dispute among themselves who then of them it was that should commit this. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be thought greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the nations have lordship over them, and they who have authority over them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who is a governor, as he who ministers. For which is greater, he who sits or he who ministers? Is it not he who sits? But I am in the midst of you as he who ministers. But you are they who have remained with me in my temptations, and I set up for you a kingdom, as my Father has set up for me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." We read from the heavenly doctrine. Anyone enlightened from heaven can perceive in himself that flesh and blood in the above passages do not mean flesh and blood, but that in the natural sense, they both mean the passion of the cross, which they were to remember. Therefore, when the Lord instituted this supper of the last Jewish and the first Christian Passover, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." It may likewise be seen that the bread and wine do not mean bread and wine, but in the natural sense, they have the same meaning as flesh and blood, that is to say, the passion of his cross. For it is written, "Jesus broke the bread and gave to the disciples and said, 'This is my body.' And he took the cup and gave to them, saying, 'This is my blood.'" Therefore also, the passion of the cross is called a cup. By the blood of the new covenant or testament, nothing is meant but the word, which is called the covenant or testament, old and new. Thus, divine truth in the word. As this is the significance of blood, the Lord gave his disciples the wine, saying, "This is my blood," the wine signifying divine truth. And therefore wine is called the blood of grapes. This is still further evident from the Lord's words, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." That blood here means the divine truth of the word is very manifest. For it is said that he who drinks it has life in himself, and abides in the Lord, and the Lord in him. That this is effected by divine truth and a life according to it, and that the Holy Supper confirms it, may be known in the church. The angels of heaven cannot think of any kind of blood, nor do they think of the Lord's passion, but only of divine truth and of the Lord's resurrection. So when man thinks of the Lord's blood, the angels have a perception of the divine truth of his word. And when men think of the Lord's passion, they have a perception of his glorification, and then of his resurrection only. The fruit of the vine, which they were to drink new in the kingdom of heaven, means no other than the truth of the new church and of heaven. But if anyone is so simple as to be unable to think from his understanding of anything except what he sees with the eye, I advise him, when he takes the bread and wine and hears them called the Lord's flesh and blood, to think within himself of the Holy Supper as the holiest thing of worship, and to call to mind Christ's passion and his love for man's salvation. For he says, "This do in remembrance of me." Also, "The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. I lay down my life for the sheep." Amen.